Hey, this is Andrew Perella, the producer of Something Wild. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. So NHPR just wrapped up our year-end member drive, during which, if you haven't heard, we were offering thank you gifts with the Something Wild owl on it. The member drive is over, but you can still get yourself a coffee mug or a spankin' tote. Click on the support button at nhpr.org and grab your owl swag. Thanks. And thanks also to the Currier Museum of Art. Explore the art, science, and adventure of the Northeast's tallest peak in Mount Washington, the crown of New England. Now through January 16th, exclusively at the Currier Museum of Art in Manchester. More info at currier.org.
So, the thing about nature shows...
You mean like this one?
Even this one, yeah. We tend to talk about plants and animals as separate independent entities.
The red-tailed hawk eats this, it sounds like that, it does this in the wintertime.
Right, but as we've tried to explain over the years, a hawk is just one resident in a complex ecological puzzle.
Right, she interacts with other animals and plants in the neighborhood.
Exactly, so let's take a look at this neighborhood. I'm Chris Martin from New Hampshire Audubon.
And I'm Dave Anderson from the Forest Society, and this is Something Wild.
And this is the first in a periodic series that we're calling New Hampshire's Wild Neighborhoods, where we take a quick tour of natural communities in the state.
Right, so let's get a few things straight first. Just as biologists classified all the species they've discovered, they've also classified all the habitats and natural communities.
And New Hampshire is home to nearly 200 distinct natural communities, as outlined by New England ecologists Dan Sperduto and Ben Kimball in their book, The Nature of New Hampshire.
Some of these are familiar, like a cattail marsh or the intertidal rocky shore.
But others are far from household names, including my personal favorite, the circumneutral calcareous flark.
A flark?
Flark.
Huh. Well, and each hosts plants and animals that are either unique or best suited to survive in those habitats, like the rare moths of the Ossipee Pine Barrens.
Each of these habitats is defined by characteristic geology, soils, and sunlight, by water and wind exposure, or by elevation.
Well, we've got our work cut out for us then with so many distinct habitats and landforms. Where do we start?
Well, let's start with an easy one, like the oxbow.
Excellent choice. So what do we know about oxbows?
Well, oxbows are formed by rivers, which, as you know, move around quite a bit.
Yeah. So can I do a quick geology lesson?
I'm not sure I could stop you.
Well, when the glacier receded from New Hampshire, it left behind these enormous, long, skinny lakes. Over the millennia, sediment built up on the bottom of those lakes. Eventually, the lakes drained, leaving behind a broad, wide, sandy lake bed made up of that sediment, with a river in it.
And the river carves its way through the soft materials and frequently meanders. And as that happens, it shortcuts through the river bends, leaving behind stranded pools of water.
Shaped suspiciously like the U-shaped collar of an ox yoke.
So you'll find oxbows right next to the rivers. In fact, they were the river.
An oxbow is a bit like a vernal pool in that no river runs through it. It collects water from rain or snow runoff and from spring flooding.
But unlike a vernal pool, oxbows are often permanent. But in dry summers...
Like the one we just had.
Some can dry out. Okay, so we've got this standing pool of water sitting on what once was a riverbed.
Well, it's well documented that river sediment is among the most fertile soil on the planet. And there are a bunch of plants that take advantage of that soil and the proximity to water.
So I always see tons of lily pads and oxbows and purple pickerel weed, too.
Yeah, they thrive in that kind of environment. And growing at the water's edge, you'll find sycamore trees, brown ash, and green ash, which is practically an obligate.
Obligate? That means you'll only find it near the oxbows.
Yes. And there are other similarities with vernal pools. They're great for amphibians, especially wood frogs and spotted salamanders, which migrate to oxbows as the spring thaw gets underway.
Oxbows are also breeding habitat for hooded mergansers and green herons. There's plenty of shrubs to act as cover for their nest sites, and there's plenty of fish and amphibians to feed the chicks.
And prey species attract predators, so you're likely to see a mink patrolling the edges of an oxbow.
So oxbows are busy natural neighborhoods, but natural communities like oxbows are places we overlook as we drive back and forth to work or to school.
They occupy such a small percentage of the landscape, but habitat diversity is essential to establishing biological diversity.
And biodiversity is what's so special about our state's outstanding natural heritage. I'm Chris Martin.
And I'm Dave Anderson. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe to the Something Wild podcast on iTunes or Google Play.
Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests and NHPR. This is going to be better this time.
This is going to be the one.
Yeah, this is the one. Oh, I can just feel it.
Never say that.
From the top.
All right. All set.